If you'll take out a Bible and turn with me to the book of Judges. The book of Judges is in the Old Testament. If you did not bring a Bible or you do not have a Bible, you can take that one out of the pew rack in front of you, that red book there. Turn to the book of Judges. I think there's even a page number there in your bulletin that can cue you into exactly where you need to be. We're going to look at Judges chapter 3 in just a moment as we talk and begin a series where we're going to walk through kind of a strange book in the Bible. The book of Judges is strange in that it occurs at an odd time in Israel. An odd time before the time of where there's kings and leaders that we might recognize, like King David or King Solomon. And it occurs after the time with other leaders, like in the days of Israel, like we think of Noah or Moses, people like that. It's in between there, and it's kind of an odd book and takes us through an odd time. And so we're going to look through it and look at some of the judges that are in the book of Judges and see what kind of things we can learn from their life. So if you'll look in there, Judges chapter 3, we're going to look at it in just a moment. And let me tell you as well, is if you do not have a Bible, and that's why you don't have it with you today, you don't have one, please take that one home with you as a gift. And we think every home should have the Word of God because that is where God speaks to us and speaks to our hearts. So we want you to be able to read it for yourself. So you can take that home with you if you'd like. As we start this new series, as we look at some of these judges, there's a little bit of background to these judges that I want to share with you today as we get into it. It'll help us understand where we're going throughout the next few weeks. The book of Judges is one of those things where Israel is in a time of crisis. They've come into the Promised Land, and if you get out your blue sheet, this is a time to just kind of follow along and maybe jot down anything that God lays on your heart during this time or that is already laid on your heart during some of the music that we've been singing. But in the background of the Judges, the first thing is Israel has come into the Promised Land. Israel has come into the Promised Land. Now, do you remember that when they came out of Egypt and we had that great leader, which we just mentioned, Moses, Charlton Heston. He took them all out of Egypt, and they went into the desert, and they went across the Red Sea, and it was just a powerful time where they had a very strong leader, and they've come to the edge of the Promised Land, and Moses passed away, 120 years old. He died young, and he didn't go into the Promised Land, but then Israel went into the Promised Land, led by another strong leader. Not as well known as Moses, but Joshua. For those who grew up in Sunday school, Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. All right, you remember? All right, Joshua was the leader who followed Moses. Very strong leader, took them into the Promised Land, and they began to conquer the places that needed to be conquered. They began to occupy the places that need to be occupied, and they're in the Promised Land. But then, same thing happened to Joshua that happened to Moses. He died. And hence the book of Judges begins. In fact, Joshua judges. It's at the beginning of Judges, it says, and Joshua was dead. In other words, now there's an absence of strong leadership. We all know Moses, wow. And we all know Joshua. But now there's really no strong leadership there. There's a lacking there. And when there's no strong leadership, when there's not somebody who says, this is what you got to do, this is where you got to go, this is what you got to be, and instead you have a lot of smaller leaders and people gather together and they gather together, and it's hard to kind of get a unified idea of where you're going. And sometimes you lose your way. I mean, it's sort of like putting a bunch of guys in a big white building with a dome on top and saying, solve the debt. All right? It's really hard to do. Yeah, we're experiencing that right now, right? All right? Just to give you a little taste of what we're... But in this time of Israel's... they also were wandering a little bit. They had strayed from the original plan. And what we find here is that there's people looking for leadership, but they're not finding it. They're not always looking in the right places. So it's a familiar time to us because of those things. So there's a lack of strong leadership. They're in the Promised Land, but nothing is finished yet. They don't have They don't all have the promised land. All the borders aren't secure. Everything's not honky-dory like it should be. People aren't all settled. Some of them are still wandering. Some of them still living in tents. Many of the people, when they went into promised land had people in it already. And so they were there, and so they're intermingling with them. They don't know what to do with them, how to keep separate, how to keep their worship and the worship of the people that are there separate. And the next thing you know, we just have chaos. It's really a dark time. And therefore, it's kind of a book that as you read it, it's kind of filled with people who, well, honestly, are kind of a lot like you and me. Instead of the greats, like Moses and Joshua, that shine above, or even when they had kings, like King David or King Solomon. It's really just a hodgepodge of people, everyday people. The book of Judges is named Judges. When we think of Judges, we think of maybe the guy in the robe who sits at the bench and makes decisions over local disputes or decisions about laws and things. Obviously, that is not what the Judges is here. A more accurate term might be the book of deliverers. For what we're going to find is God raises up people, ordinary people, people just like you and me, not heroes, but people just like us, to help deliver Israel from certain circumstances. And so, What we're really finding out is, what would it be like if there was a time of crisis and there wasn't a Superman? There wasn't a Captain America. There wasn't a Moses. There's just people like us. Can we find deliverance? Can we find our way? The situation is familiar to us because as Israel goes into this place, as Israel goes into this land of Canaan that God promised to them, they find themselves wandering from the Lord. They find themselves forgetting. In fact, they get into a cycle that's all too familiar to you and I. The cycle that happens, I list this in your notes there, it's a familiar pattern. As we start in the book of Judges, let me give you a little review. First, we find out that they forget about God. If you look in chapter 2, if you're in chapter 3, as we wait to read our scripture today, in chapter 2, verse 10, it says, after that, in other words, Joshua died, and after that, the whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up, who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done in Israel. The cycle begins that we forget and then we rebel. We forget about the things that God has done for us. I do that, don't you? We are very forgetful at times of how God has come through. You can find that out whenever you have a crisis. When you have a crisis, most of us don't go, no problem. Remember the last time we were in a crisis? God brought us right through. It's seldom you hear that. Most of the time, it's panic, fear, because we've forgotten. Up come a generation of people who didn't go across the Red Sea, who didn't see what God did in the land of Egypt, who didn't see how he provided for them throughout the desert. And so as they went into this new place, a new generation came up. And whether it's the fault of the old generation for not telling them, or whether it's just the fact that it wasn't important to them again. The fact is, they forgot. And when they forgot, they rebelled. When we forget, we become our own gods. We become whatever we want. That's familiar to us because, of course, we as a nation sometimes forget. We not only as individuals forget what God has done for us, but we come together as a nation. As we think about it, as we look at how our nation is going and where we're going, as we look at the different situations, we're reminded of how God brought us here. We're reminded of what was the foundation of some of the things that our country was built upon. But for many of us, we forget. And we take for granted our freedoms, and we find that the country slowly can fall apart. We forget, and then we rebel. The next thing that happens is then we suffer and cry out, because the Bible tells us very clearly that when we're outside of God's will, when we're outside of the principles that God has designed for us to live, that consequences happen. And those consequences are usually painful. God created us with a very certain way to live and principles to live by. And when we don't do that, we encounter the consequences of our bad choices, bad decisions. We act surprised at that, and sometimes we blame God and say, God's just punishing us, because we look at God and we say, he's just waiting to bop us on the head every time we get out of line. But the scripture is clear that it's not so much God bopping us on the head, is that when we go outside of God's design, we falter. We experience the consequences of our sinful rebellion. When you live selfishly, when you live pridefully, when you're the center of your universe, when you are your own Lord, you suffer consequences of that decision. So, people cry out to God when they see it, when they feel the pain. Often, as we say, there's no atheists in foxholes. People cry out. People say, hey, Lord. And when they do, God delivers. And that's the cycle we're going to see in the book of Judges. God delivers. People forget, they rebel, they suffer, and they cry out. Then God hears them and delivers them. God always hears. I want you to know, here's one of the messages that's coming across loud and clear in the book of Judges, is that God is not going to give up on his people. You believe that today? God is not going to give up on his people. When they cry out, he comes to their aid. He comes to their deliverance. God didn't just deliver Israel from Egypt many years ago in this situation, but God continues to deliver Israel. And he continues to deliver his people. And he does it over and over and over again in the book of Judges. It's part of the cycle. But when we get delivered by God, all of a sudden we're able to relax, enjoy, and then what happens? We forget and we rebel again. And then the cycle begins. Then we suffer and cry out. God hears and delivers. Once we get delivered, we forget and rebel. Reminds me of the guy who is up on his roof working. I've shared this story before. He all of a sudden loses his footing, starts to slide down the roof. It's going to be a bad scene. And as he's sliding down the roof, he says, oh God, save me. And all of a sudden when he cries out, the nail catches his pants and stops him from going off the edge of the roof. And he says, never mind God, the nail saved me. You see? We forget how quick we forget, and then we rebel. It's the cycle. It's a cycle that we're all too familiar with. So God uses a word throughout Judges that he always gives his people a choice, and I think that's important to realize as well in this book, in this time, in our time. It's always good to know that God gives choices to his people. And in fact, we find a question throughout this could be, whenever we're in trouble, we say, is this a test? Have you ever said that? You know, you wonder, hey, is this a test to see if I can do this? Is this a test to see if I'll choose the right thing? And the answer to that question is always, yes, life is a test. And God continually offers us opportunities to be tested. At times, God brings things into your life that may be difficult, that may be more than you understand, and allows you to get into situations where he can test you. Not for his knowledge, but for yours. Is this a test? Yes, it is a test. Life is not easy, and it's full of tests. So let me give you this, the purpose of tests, because we're going to start the very first part of this passage by talking about God testing Israel. There's three things that tests accomplish. And the Bible's filled with tests throughout. And your life is probably filled with them as well. The first thing is, when a test comes, it's to discover, resolve, choices. What are you going to choose? What have you chosen? A test is something that shows that you have chosen the right way. A lot of people will come to me and they'll say, You know, one thing I have a hard time with God, that he, you know, like back in the Garden of Eden, this is often I hear this argument from folks, usually that don't go to church. And they'll say, you know, in the Garden of Eden, what's God doing with that tree in the garden that they can't eat from? What's he thinking? Why did he put that there? He's just setting them up for failure. He's a God who was just giving them an opportunity to fail. He knew they would fail, and he wanted it. And I want to say that what God was giving them is a choice. God made the tree in the garden because he loves us and wants us to love him. Love can only happen if there's a choice. Do you understand? I can't force you to love me. If there's only one choice, there isn't any love. Love means I choose you over this. And needless to say, in the garden where there's thousands of trees that they can eat from and only one that they can't. And of course, which one did they eat from? Yeah, the one. Why? Because that's the way we are. Right? But that choice emphasizes that God loves us. And throughout the scriptures, God always gives the choice. And a test every day is something that you encounter every day. Are you going to choose to follow God? Or are you going to choose to follow your own desires? Always a choice. I love God. I choose to follow him. It's one of the last things Joshua said at the end of his book, which was right before this passage we're looking at today. He said, I choose God. He said that at the end, right before he died, he still was saying, I choose God. It's a choice. So it determines resolve. Not only that, but if we have a test, it also develops character. We know as well as anybody else that if you want patience, love, understanding, and compassion, it's through trials and tribulations, it's through the testing of who you are and your own personal character that God develops in you those characteristics. To develop character, and then finally, to determine who you depend upon. Who do you trust? Who do you rely on? In the time of trial, who do you go to? Some people go to a bottle. Some people go to a psychiatrist. Some people go to a friend. But many people turn to God. And we're going to find that Israel, as rebellious as they are, they were dependent upon God. The book of Judges, I want you to see as we read it, is a book of hope. It's filled with some weird people. Kind of like church. Filled with weird people who do weird stuff and sometimes make mistakes. I don't know how many of you are perfect here today. Don't raise your hand, please. It makes the rest of us feel bad. But I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I'm a jerk sometimes, and most of the time I can be an idiot easily. But the book of Judges shows that God, when there's no Superman, when there's no Moses, when there's no one that's there, he uses ordinary, everyday people to accomplish his purposes, and that is a book of hope. As we go through these judges, I want you to see that God can use anyone to accomplish his purpose, no matter where you've been, what you've done, where you're from. God can use you to do great things. And that is a great message for us to hear. So let's go to this passage. It's Judges chapter 3. We're going to read the first 14 verses here. And we're going to see this cycle that I talked about earlier. But I want you to follow along because it involves the first of the judges. Chapter 3, verse 1 is where I'll start. And you can follow along in your Bible. These are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. The five rulers of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites living in the Lebanon mountains from Mount Baal Hermon to Lebo Hamath. And they were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which he had given their forefathers through Moses. The Israelites lived among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, Muscatites. Just testing, see if you were following along. Thank you for following along in your Bibles. They took their daughters in marriage and gave their own daughters to their sons and served their gods. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God. Are you following this? You following it? They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs. The anger of the Lord burned against Israel, so that he sold them into the hands of Kishon Rishathaim, king of Aram Naharim, to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. But when they cried out to the Lord, he raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. The Lord gave Kishon Rishathaim, king of Aram, into the hands of Othniel, who overpowered him. So the land had peace for 40 years until Othniel, son of Kenaz, died. Once again, we're reading these next few verses because it's important. Once again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Because they did this evil, the Lord gave Eglon, king of Moab, power over Israel, getting the Ammonites and the Amalekites to join him. Eglon came and attacked Israel, and they took possession of the city of Palms. The Israelites were subject to Eglon, king of Moab, for 18 years. Let's pray. Lord, once again, we are reading a very old story. When we read through Judges, it's pretty obvious that people are imperfect and that we rebel and you deliver and we rebel and you deliver. We rebel and you deliver. A pattern that many of us are familiar with, whether it's dealing with personal habits or our own walk with you, or whether it's looking at our community or our family or, Lord, even looking at our country and our world. I pray this day that you would remind us who you are and that you would be, once again, our deliverer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first judge of Israel, the first deliverer that we encounter is Othniel. And just to give you a little background on him as we start, is he's a pretty good guy. He comes from a good stock. His background is he's from the tribe of Judah. And not only that, but his heritage is that he's related to Caleb. Now, Caleb, you remember Joshua and Caleb that came into the land? They were the spies that actually said the right thing. They were the only two people in all of Israel that went into the promised land. Even Moses was not allowed to go in, but Caleb and Joshua did. And Caleb, who was 85 years old at the time, said, "I'll take the high ground. I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. And my eyes can see just as clearly." And he went in and took the high ground and did a lot. He had a little brother named Kenaz, and Kenaz had a son whose name was Othniel. So Othniel was the nephew of Caleb. So he had a little bit of a famous heritage, although he was pretty much not famous in Israel, other than how he was related to Caleb. So there he is. His reputation is, we find in chapter 1 of the Judges, and that is Othniel is one of the people who steps up to volunteer to take a city. It was Caleb himself who gave a challenge. He said, "If anyone is willing to go and take this city, I'll give him my daughter as a wife." At that particular time, Othniel rose to the occasion, took the city of Kiriath Sefer. And when he did, he received the wife. He was somebody ready to jump into the service of the king. If that's anything that he inherited from his uncle, it was being inspired to do what God called him to do no matter what. So that's his background. But basically, other than maybe even today, you've never heard of him. You've never heard of his name. Isn't that the way it is in our lives? Sometimes the most important people in our lives, if I was to say and bring a microphone out and say, "Who is important in your life today?" Most of you wouldn't name one of the movie stars in Hollywood. In fact, you probably wouldn't name anybody that was on the front page of the newspaper. For me, I can think of a man named Clayton, and a man named Garfield, and a man named William. None of who you would know or recognize. the names of my grandfathers and my father, who raised me right, who shared with me the message of Jesus Christ, who showed me how to live a life of values and everything. It's really made a difference in my life. But they're not famous. You're not going to read about them. Like Othniel, you know, they may have some distant relatives in their family tree that are somebody, you know, a Caleb or somebody, but basically they nothing special, but they're special to me. You have people like that, don't you? Just because somebody's not famous, just because somebody's not the Moses or Joshua, does it mean that they're not important? Oh, incredibly important to me. Incredibly. And you have those people too. And as we look at Othniel, he is just nobody special necessarily, but he was ready to be used for God. So here's the situation. We've already talked about it. Israel has forgotten, right? They've forgotten who they were. They've forgotten the ways of the Lord. And it says that they began to do things that were horrible. They started worshiping the other gods. They forgot not only who their God was, but they were searching for other gods to fill the gap. Now consequences have come, because whenever you fall away from God and rebel against Him, you suffer the consequences. And pain is felt. They cry out, God, help us. They finally say something to God. And God raises up in this scripture, He raises up Othniel. It says that He puts His spirit upon him. And the details of the battle that frees them from their slavery, we don't even know, because that's not what's important here. What's important is that God has come to the rescue and used this guy named Othniel. Nobody famous, nobody necessarily spectacular, but God shows up and uses him to deliver Israel. Okay, we could say, enough said. Enough said. Right? That's the situation. We see it happen all the time in the scripture. God shows up, he gets this guy, and he delivers them, and they have 40 years of peace. He dies, and the cycle continues. So let me say that we're going to find that pattern throughout the book of Judges. A pattern, once again, that we're all familiar with. A pattern that we see in our individual lives, that we see in our country, that we see in our world. We forget, we rebel, we suffer, we cry out, God shows up, delivers us. Then we forget and rebel. It seems like our goal through this study is to remember. To break the cycle. Wouldn't you like to do that? Wouldn't you like to do that and say, I remember that God is gone. So that the first thing that you say in a crisis is, God always comes through. I think he'll come through again. So how do we do that? There's certain lessons I think we can learn as we go into this. And I just want to give you four that'll spring us into looking at each of these judges and what we can get out of each of these scriptures for today. And so I want to give you those four, and I think we see them here in this scripture. Number one, we without the Lord, we are in trouble. Do you believe that? Listen, when you know, no matter who you are, what nation you're a part of, what your government says or whatever, when people go without the Lord, they're in trouble. It never ends up good. God says that without him as the designer, without him and obeying his principles, keeping him a part of your life, you will be in trouble. Now, granted, we can look around and we can see and say, well, you know, Pastor, we see people with a lot of money who just thumb their nose at God. And they have a lot of money and they have all the things they want and they're seemingly happy. I want you to know this. It's a fact of Scripture. They're in trouble. They're in trouble. And I would rather be poor and struggling and be right with the Lord than rich and comfortable and be in trouble. God says in His Word through Jesus, He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We can't achieve peace and happiness and joy and all the things that we want in this life without the Lord. Can you get money without the Lord? Sure. people all over the world. Can you do other things without the Lord? Sure, but you can't be happy. You can't be joyful. You can't experience fulfillment in life without Him. Without the Lord, you're in trouble. We're going to find that throughout the message of the Judges. Without the Lord, you're in trouble. Whenever you go away from Him, you're in trouble. Any nation that turns their back on God is in trouble. And that includes the United States of America. We're not exclusive. We're not even a Christian nation as much anymore. And when we turn our back on God, we're in trouble. So what do we need to do? I hope that you are one of the people crying out. As you turn on the news, as we see our nation suffering, as we see other people in the world suffering, are you crying out? Lord, deliver us. Lord, save us. That's where we need to be. A people who cry out to the Lord. A nation is defined by its people, not by its leaders. And so we can blame leaders about where a nation's going and things like that, but it's the people who need to cry out. The second thing we see is that Lord delivers us when we call out. When we cry out to Him, He always shows up. Throughout the book of Judges, we're going to see that God keeps on showing up to the point to where God anoints us. And isn't that true? You know, I would have gave up on Israel clear back into Exodus, wouldn't you? Whine, whine, whine. Complain, complain, complain. God gives them water in the desert. God helps them through the Red Sea. God gives them food to eat. God does all this. Whine, whine, complain, complain. I would have been fed up way before God. But God continues to deliver. He continues to deliver them and show up whenever they call. And that is something of a comfort to all of us who struggle with sin, who struggle with failures over and over and over and over again. God will always show up and He will always deliver if you genuinely cry out to Him. He always shows up. It's the promise of Scripture. God is ever faithful. He's never unfaithful. We're unfaithful like crazy, but God shows up when you call out. Maybe today you need to call out to God. For your own personal life, as you struggle with the things that you struggle with, God, help me. He'll show up and He'll deliver you. It's one of the things that we're going to learn out of the Judges. Number three, the third thing, is that the Lord empowers people with His Spirit. I love this about the book of Judges. It says that the Spirit of the Lord came down upon Him. I want you to see that throughout that passage, it's God that's doing it. Did you see that? As we look at that chapter 3 there, it says that in verse 9 there, but when they cried out to the Lord, He raised up for them a deliverer. It wasn't Othniel out there raising his hand saying, here I am, can you just send me? No, no, no. God raised him up. Not only did God raise him up, but it says in verse 10, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. And it says that God, the Lord, gave them into his hands, the enemies into his hands. That is the God's doing. God shows up and He does the delivering. But I want you to notice that it's through His power and through His strength that He empowers a regular old person. A regular person. Somebody like you and me. You see, God uses people to do His business. Now, I question that about God because we are so unpredictable and so selfish and prideful most of the time. Why would He pick us to do His work? Why didn't He just do it? I don't know. But in the wisdom of God and because He loves us, He chooses us to go out and make a difference in the world. He chooses people to deliver people. He chooses people to heal people. He chooses people to give a message of love and hope. He chooses broken people like you and me, imperfect people, to tell the world about a perfect God. Somehow that doesn't make sense, and yet it does make sense. Because I'm really not going to listen to somebody who's perfect. Are you? How could somebody perfect tell me about God? I'm not perfect. And what we find is God uses imperfect people only. Here's a picture here. Maybe you recognize the building. Some of you might not be able to see it. Okay? The building is the front of this building. There's a group of people here in front of the building. Some of them signed this thing. Anyway, group of people in front of the building. I don't think anybody in this picture is a Hollywood movie star. They probably weren't on Entertainment Tonight last week. Most of them, I don't think any of them were on the news. I don't think they made the front page of the paper. Nobody famous. A group of really unknown people, regular people, called Parkwood Baptist Church Family. What could regular people do? Well, throughout the ages, regular people like Parkwood Church Family have raised up missionaries that have gone and made a difference in areas of the world, all over the world, in China, in Scotland, we just mentioned at the earlier service, in Africa. Some pastors in local churches, some leaders in Young Life, some making differences on college campuses. Even our own Kelly Morgan, who sang so beautifully for us, "Shall We Gather at the River?" Kelly shared with me, she's been a member of our church three or four months. Did such a great job singing today, but she shared with me today that, you know, she came to know the Lord at a VBS, Vacation Bible School, at Parkwood. She wasn't a member of this church. Her family just brought her here, and she became a Christian. Because some workers, some teachers in VBS, nobody famous, probably people you may not even know, shared with her the message of Jesus Christ. And you know what? Changed her life. She never looked back. And yet 3 months ago, she joined this church to be a part of our church family. Just people. Normal people like Othniel. Normal people doing normal things, letting themselves be used by God. God raised up some people in a VBS years ago that shared Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit with his hand upon them with a young girl named Kelly. And she gave her life to Christ. You have a story like that? I'll bet you do. Now the thing is, though, the challenge is that God wants to use you to do the same thing. But the fourth principle is very important, and that is God gives the victory. God always gets the glory. The judges, if they were to take the glory to themselves, if Othniel said, "Boy, I'm pretty awesome. What a great thing I just did." But he didn't. Because God does it. And it's important for us to realize that it's God working, doing amazing, eternal kingdom work in the world around us through us. But Pastor, I'm not a Moses. I'm not a David. I'm not a Solomon. I'm not the Apostle Paul. I'm not the disciple Peter. I'm just a regular person. Welcome. Why don't you be the judge then? Why don't you be the deliverer for someone to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Allow the Holy Spirit to use you, to raise you up, and to empower you and give you and equip you all that you need to share a message of love and forgiveness with a world that desperately needs to hear it. Could you be the answer to somebody's prayer just simply by making yourself available to God to give testimony to his love and care? Wow. That's right. That's what the message is about. We can break the cycle by sharing a message that our God is a deliverer. And no matter what kind of bondage people are in, no matter what they're struggling with, God can deliver them. And if they say, but I'm not perfect, you can say, I'm not either. And he delivers me over and over again. It's your choice each day. You can make the choice. It's a test. Will you choose it? Will you allow God to help you make build character in you? And will you depend upon him and show the world that you choose to follow Christ? That's the only thing that makes Othniel special. He was there and he was willing. Are you willing today to make a difference for Jesus? Wow, we need people. We cry out for people. The world cries out for a deliverer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to this time together, we are overwhelmed by what you can teach us through this scripture. And as we delve into the book of Judges, as we look at some of these people, as imperfect as they are, Father, let us gain hope that you use people, even imperfect people, to make a difference, to show the world that you are a deliverer. In fact, Lord, maybe that's why you choose people, so that you're the one that gets the glory. Because we can't deliver people. We can't show up with power. But you can. Whatever decision needs to be made today, Lord, please allow us to do that. There are probably some here who just really need a deliverer. They need to hear your voice. Some here today who need to take a step to follow you. Some need a church family. And some need just to go out and make a resolve to share your gospel with those around us. Whatever it is, Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, the book of Judges is filled with different kinds of people. It's filled with hotheads and angry people like Samson, or young, doubtful, afraid people like Gideon. It's filled with those who make rash decisions that they regret. It's filled with others who start out good and then go bad in the end, and some that are in bondage to habits that they just can't break. It sounds a lot like us. And I think we will find hope in this as we study through some of these folks. Now, as we stand and sing this closing hymn, number 538, we're going to sing this together. And this is an important time in the church family, because it's a time for you to just do business with the Lord. And that means that there's things I said at the beginning of the service, that God had a blessing for you, and whatever your point of need is, this is the time to connect with that. Maybe you just need to hear from him today. Just pause, pray, get your life right with him. You just need to just ask him for his deliverance. Do that right where you are, right where you stand. You don't have to come forward or anything. You just do that right between you and the Lord. Maybe you want to know more about knowing Jesus. And if you do, we'd love to meet with you and pray with you and talk with you more about that. Maybe you are like Kelly was a few months back when she said, this is the place I want to be and plug in. And I want to follow Christ. I want to follow him here in this church, because this is a comfortable place to share the gospel. The most important thing that happens here at Parkwood is outside of these walls. It's the most important thing that goes on here. We take what we learn here outside of these walls to a world that desperately needs to hear the message of hope. So, whatever your decision, as we stand and as we sing, this is the time to make it. Would you stand now and sing with us? so much for coming and being a part of this worship service today. I hope that you will take the message of love that you have received today, the touch of God that you have received in your heart, and share it with somebody who needs to hear it. Take time to fellowship with one another on your way out. Meet somebody you don't know, and just introduce yourself and be an encouragement to one another. But as we go from this place, let us go as blessed people. And we want to continue to pray for those who are out serving the Lord that we have sent out from our congregation as missionaries to the world all around us. And so remember those, and we have prayer sheets that help remind you of praying for those. And we welcome our youth back from their youth camp. They just were there all week long helping in Altoona, Pennsylvania. You don't have to go too far to help folks in need, and we do that not only locally, but even at places like Altoona, Pennsylvania, where they worked really hard helping a community there with some building and light construction and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're thankful for that opportunity. You'll hear more about that tonight if you come at 6:30 at our celebration as we celebrate what God has done, what He's doing, and what He will do. And now let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in this place, to fellowship with other believers, and to be encouraged to go out and share the gospel plainly and in truth and love. For Lord, you have given us a message that has transformed our lives, and we want to allow you to use us to give that same message to others. So give us courage and strength and fill us with your Spirit, as you did with Othniel, Lord. Help us to be a part of your greater kingdom purpose. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.